spin-offs. Right, more on all of that, 0345 6060 973. But now, as promised, let's talk a bit more about the changes to the law in cohabiting partners, putting them more on a level with married partners, and hear from Neil Russell, who joins us, partner and head of family law at Seddon's GSC. So, Neil, do you think a change in the law is necessary?
Where we have mainstream living now of 3.5 million unmarried couples, a number that's grown exponentially over the last 10 years, we ought to have law that takes into account this modern day family, because there is what is known as the myth of the common law marriage, whereby people don't go through a wedding ceremony. They're not married, but they think after so many years, whatever that number of years is, people just think you're married. There's a marriage, and there isn't a marriage at all. You either have the gold standard wedding, which gives you your marriage status, which comes with rights and remedies, and you can only untangle that relationship through the courts. Or alternatively, you can have a civil partnership, which gives the same rights as marriage. It was originally for same-sex couples only, when it came in December 2005, and then 14 years later, that was extended to opposite-sex couples in December 2019. And now what is being proposed, in effect, there'd be a third layer of recognised legal relationships for cohabitees. Because at the moment, there is this myth of the common law marriage, as I've said, that people think they're married. They're not. So when the relationship comes to an end, the financial consequences for, let us say, typically, historically and less so nowadays, but the mother of the children who's given up her career, perhaps to look after the children, support the husband, or it may be nowadays, it's often the case, the husband, that the male partner has supported the mother. So he stayed at home and she's gone to work. But at the end of the relationship, there's no recognition for any of that at all. The only financial responsibilities are in relation to any property that they own, and there's no presumption of sharing that property. The position is if A and B own a property together, they'll have their respective shares out of that property. If one party's name is not on the title to the property, they'll have no share in that property. So you could have a 20-year relationship. One party's gone out to work, owned that home from the beginning of the relationship, and then the relationship comes to an end, and he or she says, right, you're out. That person has got perhaps no rights of occupation because they're not an owner of the property, and they've got no maintenance entitlement because they've not been married. So the purposes of having laws for cohabitees is to give those people that would otherwise have no legal protection, a level of protection.
So the thing that occurs to me, Neil, is how do you decide whether somebody is in a cohabiting relationship then?
That's a lovely question. I don't think it's been properly defined or answered yet. What it is being proposed is that, but if parties have lived together for 2 years or share a child, that would amount to cohabitation. I think there's going to be a requirement for a minimum duration of living together, perhaps an argument, or the party's going to have to show the evidence, the fact that they may be registered there for council tax, bills being shared in their names, just corroborative evidence that establishes the argument for cohabitation as we have in the law generally these days. There isn't a definition.
So is it assumed that there are lots of occasions, I imagine there must be, where a couple split up and there's then an ensuing argument about who's got what, or maybe one of the couple dies and the bereaved person does or doesn't have a claim? It does seem like the law is a little bit out of date in this regard.
It is, hence the proposed reform. And in terms of cohabitation, we were talking about the breakdown of the relationship, and you've just dealt with the point that wills, yeah, under the inheritance provision for Family Independence Act, someone who's not married but has been supported by the deceased can make a claim under inheritance provision and Family Dependence Act. But a cohabitee would not automatically have a right to be provided for. They would if they've been supported, but under the proposed cohabitation reform, a cohabitee would have a right to claim under the estate like a spouse would. So I imagine there's going to be greater rights, greater levels of protection.
Have you, in the legal profession, have you been talking about this? Is this something that's been coming for a long time, and do you think it actually will happen?
Well, I can't comment for the legislative timetable. As we know, things get spoken about a lot. They've been talking about reform of the financial remedies on divorce for years. We've had the same financial statute, the Matrimonial Causes Act, since 1973, and they've talked about reform and we haven't got there. But I do think with mainstream living changing towards a greater number of cohabitees, as I said, 3.5 million cohabitees, the law should have a level of protection for people who want to cohabit, because so many people are caught out at the end of a breakdown of a relationship with no financial support and nowhere to live. And the law is there to help vulnerable people. And therefore protection should be given. But equally, if you want to be afforded that protection, you could have a civil partnership, you could have a marriage. You don't have to be married. You can, as I say, have that civil partnership. But because people are unaware and the public aren't educated enough about cohabiting relationships, they don't know that there's no financial relief at the end. I think more recently when this subject was being talked about, that it was going to be brought up within the school curriculum. It was going to be discussed that if you're not married, you don't have the same rights. So people are aware of this.
Just, I think a lot of people actually aren't aware of this and just sort of sail through life and think, well, it'll all be okay.
Yeah, well, when you said, do we speak about it a lot? We do speak about it a lot because it's, for some people, they might be coming to us for prenuptial agreements these days. They want to protect wealth, and sometimes even the prenuptial agreement will not give enough protection. So, you know, sometimes we're saying don't get married if you want to protect your wealth. If we have cohabitation reform, then people will have to consider even more than they do now. People have cohabitation agreements which can dictate or certainly indicate what should happen on the breakdown of a relationship.
Oh, really? So you can have a cohabitation agreement, even if you're not married, even if you're not in a civil partnership, you can just set up a legal framework anyway. Yeah. I mean, I suppose you have to be pretty wealthy to want to do that, but people do it, do they?
Yeah. Normally, in order to protect a property in which they live, so if you own your property, you may have a mortgage on it, but it doesn't matter. You own your property, your cohabitee moves in. What you want to disapply is any argument that they acquire a share because there's an expectation they receive a share, or they say they've made some financial contribution. The cohabitation agreement will effectively record, if they are having a share, what that share is, because there is no presumption that the property in which you live, regardless of the number of years that you've occupied it, that you will have an interest in that property. It really depends on what's at the land registry, i.e. who is the legal owner, and it's not easy to prove a beneficial interest, which is an interest that you've acquired, which isn't a legal interest.
And do you think overall that a couple who are living together but haven't got any formal arrangement, no legal arrangement, what would your advice be? Would you generally be saying, well, you're better off getting married?
Yeah, for the weaker financial party, most definitely. But then, you know, are they going to go to their wealthier partner and say, you know, I want marriage or a civil partnership or I'm leaving?
Yes. I mean, it could cause kind of awkward situations or even a breakdown of a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, with the potential raft of new legislation coming in to protect cohabitees, query how many people's relationships will break up, because people will be running scared. Others will feel protected and others will run scared.
Absolutely. Neil, thank you very much for your time. Neil Russell there, who's a partner and head of family law team at Seddon's GSC. Your thoughts on that are welcome as well, plus...